Shri Radha Rasura Nidhi Ki Jai, Prabodhananda Saraswati Ki Jai. So we're continuing the 48th verse from our discussion of Radha Rasura Nidhi about the Manjari's Bhav and Seva from the viewpoint of Tungavidyasakhi, who's absorbed in Manjari Bhav and Seva and moods and even possibly could have a Manjari Sarup. So we're discussing this verse and the theme of this verse, which we're told, and we also see. It's about, the theme is drowning in a lake of ras. It says rasa radha. We have kaliya radhe, radhe, so the rasa radhe. So of course we're drowning, and it'll be the lake of service. There's 3 points that we mentioned yesterday in the outline to this verse. One is the privilege, the great privilege of it getting Radharani's service as a Manjari. And the second is how Manjaris serve Radha and Krishna with all their senses. It's not just hands and feet and words and mouth, but ears and eyes. Their eyes are doing service. Like someone says, oh, Prabhu, what is your service? I just sit in a temple, look at the deities. and people say, hey, you know, get out, sell books, you know, go cut vegetables. Do something. You're not doing anything. Do something. But then if the person's a little smart, he'll say, but I'm following Prabhupada. And they'll say, what do you mean? Prabhupada was so active. No, it says in the biography, when he was little, he would go to the Mulak's temple in Calcutta, and he would come before Radha Govindaju, and he would stand there for hours on end, gazing at their beauty. So if you're a very clever bhakta, and you've read something before you've joined some missions, then you may give that retort and may get another reply from the TC. But at any rate, we can do that. That's perfect. You see, people sometimes, they sit on the banks of Radharani, what we generally call Radhakund. But let's say they sit at the feet of Radharani, as Brijvasis consider Radhakund, and anyone considers Radhakund to be Radharani when they're in Radhabhav. Brijvasis are in Radhabhav. No doubt, especially Kundavasis and Sri Kund, Radha Kund. So when they see Radha Kund, they say, oh, my Radha. So they when they sit there, Rijvasis are sitting next to you, and they feel, oh, I'm sitting at the feet of Radha. And we think, oh, I'm sitting on these steps. I'm sitting on these steps on the banks of Radha Kund. And I offer the ghee lamp, and maybe offer the prayer. Maybe I'm chanting my anik or my mantras, my jap. Or even better, I'm meditating on the leelas of Radha and Krishna. Or I'm trying to envision that beautiful kunja in the middle of Radhakund, of Radharani's younger sister, Nanga Manjari. And what is my seva there, if we're in that line? And what are those beautiful statues? Can I see one of those statues in the garden surrounding that island-like lotus kunj, floating in the middle of Radhakund? This is so... We're serving with all the senses. We covered that yesterday. And this third point in the verse, let's read the verse to hear this beautiful verse. This is the drowning in a lake of ras, verse 48 in the Radharasura Nidhi. Kunjantare kimapi jata rasotsavaya shutva tad alipita sinjita mishritani shirarike tavaraha paricharika ham. Dwarastita rasaradhe patita kadasyam. So these 3 points are woven in this verse. Beautiful points about, of course, Leela of Radha and Krishna. That would be the Adi Daivik Vichar, Daivika Vichar, the transcendental aspect of the verse. It's a vision, it's a sporti, it's a picture, it's a painting, it's a view. Bird's eye view, heart's eye view, premi ak darshan. When someone has eyes of love, premi ak, then he has such a darshan. They actually hear with their ears that sinjita, alapita sinjita. who can reach the unlimited shores of the ocean of the beauty of Sanskrit? Or Bengali, or this rustic language. We can stand with jhamar in our hands and worship Sanskrit, or offer ghee lap and offer our hearts and minds. And some fine day, we may have entry there in Adhikara to relish the sweetness. So nice. Like the other day we heard in one verse talking about the items that the mantris bring for the seva when Radharani goes in Abhisar. They carry a tray. On that tray there's a samputam. There's a small box. We have this book, Prem Samputam, Treasure Box of Love. And that small box they have says Navachandra, Navachandra, Navachandra Lavanga, Navachandra Lavanga, Tambula Samputam. Navachandra Lavanga, Tambula Samputam, Samputam. So Navachandra, inside that box there's a moon, a new moon. No, this is Sanskrit way of saying, describing something that's white and something that's cool. The moon is white, especially in Purnima, which is 2 or 3 days from now. And it's cooling also at that time. So this is not the moon. It's not the new moon, because the new moon means the black moon. And it's actually hot. Amavasya is warm, and it's opposite. It's warm day, hot day. Body becomes overheated. So this is a description of Sanskrit of Kapoor, camphor. new moon. Inside this box, there's tambul mixed with camphor and long lavanga, you know, cloves. It's beauty. Beautiful. And it's talking about shikandam. What did it say? The other one was shikandam skalitam. That verse for Krishna's shikandam, his mukut skalitam. It fell off his head when Radharani gave a sidelong glance. We covered that verse. But in another verse, it said Chandrakena. It was describing Krishna's more mukut, his more punk. More punk means his peacock feather on his head. And it said Chandrakena. I said, again, Chandra. It said Chandrakena. Chandrakena. And then the word for word says Chandrakena means peacock feather. Because what we call the eye of the peacock feather, the Sanskrit Rasikjan, or Rasik Kavi, he sees that eye, not the eye, but of Chandra. Chandrakena. It's like this. So this we covered this yesterday. Shiradike Tavaraha Paricharikaham. The Paricharika, there's the Anachari and Parichari. And we discussed the difference between an Anachari Sevite or Dasi and a Parichari Sevite or Dasi yesterday. And aham, I want to be that. Paricharika means aham, I want to be your all-rounder. Because anachari, chari means to move, charachara, to move. So an anachari, when it's very beautiful, the logic of the language and the ras and the philosophy. This, the previous verse we discussed, Radharani's on Abhisar, and she's running out for Abhisar, and very fastly running. Then in his Manjari Srupa Vesh, or Manjari Bhava Vesh, Prabhupada Sripad is telling, and I want to be your anachari. You're on your Abhisar, and I want to be your anachari. So chara means to move, and anu means behind, to follow. So I want to be, anachari means dasi, manjari, kinkari, kaikaranya. But in that verse, you're going basically in a straight line, and here and there crooked, like love goes and pathways go. You're running down Prem Gully, and I'm running behind you. So basically mostly straight line. So I want to be right behind you. But now this verse, I don't want to be an anachari. I want to be a parichari. A paricharika. So this is very nice. Of course, all these words we've been told by our Shiksha Gurus, they all, and these verses, of which there are 40 out of 272, they directly indicate Manjari Bhav and Manjari Seva in such an amazing way. So we've heard the word Paribrajakacharya. You've heard this word? Maybe your gurus are like that. Most of the gurus nowadays are Paribrajak. Even the Bhavajis of Radhakund are moving here and there to spread the Rasa Tattva and the Prema Tattva of Gaura's heart and Radha and Krishna's heart. Incredible mercy, because historically the Mahants and gurus and Bhavajis of Radhakund, they would never leave. They would sit on this throne of Radharani's Prema and relish it with other sevaks and other shishyas. But now, the times that the compassion is rising in higher and higher waves in the hearts of all the great devotees. So those devotees that never left the precincts of Radharaman Temple are now in Peru preaching, right now, today. Or they're in Alaska or whatever, everywhere, Hawaii. It was because their grandfather and their great-grandfather, they were bound by the edicts of Shastra, Yama Niyama. And Shastra says, if you leave Bharat Varshi, lose your caste. You become Antyaja. So no saint or anyone, for that matter, would venture out of Bharat. Even a Kshatriya would not leave Bharat to conquer another country. Because he'd rather be a Kshatriya than become less than a Shudra. But just see the Karuna of Radharani. Amazing. That all the great Brahmins and Acharyas and Babajis and Goswamis are traveling far and wide beyond the precincts of Bharat. Shastras are saying no, but Radharani is telling them, and maybe their own Diksha Gurus are telling them in their heart, yes, go. So they're Radharani's people, the liberated souls, the pure devotees, and Goswamis and Babajis, Acharyas. They're sitting in the heart of Radharani Krishna, and Radharani Krishna is sitting in their heart, Govinda Vishram. Saranam Ridya Mayam, Saranam Ridya Twayam. This Lord Vishnu enlightens Durvasa Muni in the ninth canto and every one of us about the exalted position of devotees, irregardless of whatever their packaging or external form, varna, ashram, or engagement may be. Durvasa Muni is a Nitya person, is a great Rishi and Muni and Tapasvi and Vairagi. He's endowed with unlimited tapabalam, spiritual power. And he made an offense to a Grihastha. He's a sannyasi, Vairagi. But he offended a Grihastha. And he ran all over the universe to try to get the Aparad Shamak, to pacify or reduce his aparad. No success. He went to Shiva and Brahma that can grant so many boons and benedictions, and they do everywhere. But they couldn't help him here. They couldn't help him. Why? Shiva gives so many boons to Kamsa and to Ravana and Brahma. Everyone gives so many boons to good and bad people, and they do good and bad things with them. These great devatas, Ishvaras, Jagadishwaras, but not the Paramishwara of Krishna. But Durvasa Muni went there and they couldn't do anything. He said, please get this offense off my back. This offense has fructified in the form of a Sudarshan Chakra. I planted a seed of Aparad Bijam, and it grew up and became a chakra. I offended this great devotee, knowingly or unknowingly, and now that offense, that seed of offense is fructified as Vishnu's chakra, and it's burning my tail. It's chasing me all over the universe, and I'm getting no relief. And I've gone to the controller of all the controllers of the modes of the whole controller of the mode of ignorance, Shiva, and the controller of the mode of passion, and the creator and controller of the whole world, Brahma, and they said, sorry, can't help you. So then he went to Vishnu. He said, listen, can you call it? It's like someone has a bulldog and you're walking on the beach and he lets him go and he starts chasing you. He said, hey, man, call your dog back. You know, it's gonna bite my leg off. He said, hey, hello. Om Namo Narayan. Dandavats. Hello. I'm Rishi. Can you call back your chakra? I'm getting very hot because offenses burn. Aparads burn. Because it's a type of reverse tap. Tapasya means to burn. Tap means to burn. So today is a good day to burn. Burn off all our karmic bijams, our kutam and bijams, by doing Nirjali Kadasi and Jagaran, and chant lack of rounds or two, and satsang and prakama. Many things you can do to burn your mind and body and prabdha karmas, the seeds of desire. So that's the positive burning. But when people are also burning in lust, That's one of the fifth prabhavas of Kandarpa. It's called tapan. There's five effects of being infected by the arrows of Cupid, kama, bana. And one is, of course, the first one is samohana. We discussed several times in the last few classes. But one of them is tapan. That's the last one, where your heart is burning with lust and burning, or you can be burning with greed, or you can burn with aparads. Commit aparads and watch. If you don't believe me, I don't recommend it. Certainly don't recommend it. I don't want to see anyone burn up. But Kalyavana, you ever heard of Kalyavana? Open the Krishna book in 10th canto, you may learn about Kalyavana. He's a Rakshas demon chasing Krishna into a cave outside of Mathura, or in Mathura Mandal, somewhere outside of Mathura city. And it's very interesting. Krishna's very clever. He ran into that cave for many, many purposes. Krishna does many things with one action. So he knew, because Krishna knows everything, he knew that his great devotee, Muchakunda, who's been serving him in yuga after yuga after yuga, he's practically a Chiranjeev, and he's a great devata, Kshatriya, Muchakunda, and a great Vishnu Bhakt. And he was, time after time after time, fighting on behalf of the demigods to defeat the demons. Very powerful. So finally, after the final battle, he was tired. He said, listen, I'm tired of fighting for you guys. I want a benediction where I can go and rest and not be disturbed. And if someone disturbs me, then let them be at rest. So then they said, well, listen, you're a great bhakta of Vaikunthanath, of Vishnu, Mathuranath. Why don't you go to Mathura and you go there? And you go there and rest, and when you wake up, you'll have darshan of Yarishthadev. Very nice proposal. Very nice proposal. I would love to take rest one day and wake up and see Radharani. That would be very nice. So then he went there and he's sleeping, so Krishna knew, yes, my great devotee, Dandavas, my great devotee is sleeping there, let me go there. So Krishna ran in the cave and he saw his devotee, and he took off his yellow Pitambara chador, or whatever, like wallet, and he draped it, he put it on top of his devotee, Muchakunda. So of course that whole purports can be given about what that means and what is the effect of that. Because how you receive the reciprocation from the Lord, in what ways it comes as a fragrance, or as a darshan, or as a touch, or as a feeling. So here he received the tadiyanam samarchanam. He received the tadiya, the vastra, the prasadi vastra sakshat from Krishna's body was draped on the body of the devotee. When we receive some prasadi cloth or vase from Jagannath Ji, we go there and they give us a flag from the temple, or you go to some temple and they give you some remnants. I've often seen Babaji's in Vrindavan mostly, and they get some cloth from Radharaman, some very fancy gold and purple cloth or bright red, and they take it to a tailor and they make a Swami hat. They make a nice hat out of it. And they're so happy and honored to have this prasadi vesh from Radharamanji. So they make a hat out of it, and then they put it on their head to keep warm when they're doing Vrindavan Parikrama in the winter time. And they look so beautiful. They're 80 years old, 75 years old, and totally serious about their bhajan, and they're niskinchan. They have nothing. They live in a small hole in some old palace at Keshigat, and I do a little madhukari every day, and they just take bath every day in Yamuna. This is back in 1987 when Yamuna was still flowing here before they made the Haryana Dam. And they do their parikrama and do their bhajan. And so, but they're sporting this very bright and colorful. Their faces are so effulgent with Shuddha Bhakti. But they're already sporting. They're sporting. They're just wearing white and just a gumshoe, you know, small dhoti and maybe chadar and nothing, whatever. there's Radha written on their chest. And then they have this beautiful hat. So this is the prasadi. This is their flag, their victory flag, their Jayadwaj. The Jayapataka. Dwaj Pataka means flag. So this is the flag of victory. What is the victory? The victory is that the Lord, my love, has conquered the Lord's heart. My bhajan, my love, has conquered Radharaman's heart. And when I went in for darshan one day, as I go every day, then one day the pujari came and said, Baba, Radharamanji, and this is how they speak, because they have this type of vigyan. Radharamanji wants you to have this. This wants me to give this to you. And then they receive it. And they dance for joy. Immediately take it to the tailor. They beg a few rupees here or there. Or the tailor will sew it for free. This Kinshin Sadhu. It's a good. So everyone benefits by that. So that's like the flag of victory. So here, back to Mochukunda, back to Mathura Cave, which somehow is, we'll get to the rasa, tattva, at some point. And but ultimately it's all rasa. If you're there, then if you're in the ocean, no matter what direction you are, it's wet. Oh, I'm in the ocean, but it's only wet in the northern direction. Once you're hearing Harikata, then it's called Kata, Tapakatamritam, Tapta Jivanam. That tapta, that fire that we're all burning in that we mentioned earlier, this is the rain showers of monsoon to put it out. Tavakatamritam. Amritam, Kata Amritam. Everything about Krishna, Radha, devotees, bhakti, sadhana, sadhya, this is life. So now this great fortunate devotee, Muchukunda, has received the prasadi vastra, of Krishna directly from his hand. So already, just see how he was becoming elevated. He was a great devotee doing Archan Marg and doing Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu for so many lifetimes and lifetimes. And now he's got to take birth, or he's already born. He came to sleep. He got to touch Mathura Mandala from the heavenly planets where he lived. Now he's living in Mathura Mandala. Mathura Mandala Vas is one of the five most important things to having darshan of Krishna. We haven't read too many. We've read some stories in Bhaktamal and also in other books, Gaudiya Jivani and others. We haven't seen anyone that got darshan in Delhi. We never read any story of a bhakta that got darshan in Bombay or St. Petersburg or anywhere, New York City. We got darshan of the Virata Rupa or the Kali Bhairav possibly, but Krishna. So this is the place. So there he is in Braj Mandal. You know, and he's living there, and now Krishna's come to him, because that's what all happened. You'll live in Braj Mandal, and Krishna will come to you. And what? First, maybe the cloth will come, like the Baba got the cloth. He got the cloth, and then maybe he gets the darshan. We may get some prasadi, then we get the darshan. We get some mahaprasadi, the next we get darshan. It's all his will. He's the karta, he's the doer. So he got this prasadi, tadinam samarchanam. And then Kalyavana is running, and he runs in to, because Krishna went in that cave. Because he sees the Pitambara, Chetra. This is the sign, the signal of Krishna, Pitambara. He says, ha, you're lying possum. You're trying to pretend you're sleeping. It's called lying possum. And you're pretending like some insects, when they get danger, they just freeze. And then you think it's a rock or something. And then you walk away and all of a sudden legs come out and it starts walking. They have all these special defense situation and all the predator. It's amazing. You see something walking and then if you put your finger there or something, it stops and becomes like a little round piece of dust. And you don't even know what's dust and what's living entity, because ultimately every particle is living anyway. And a true vision of the premi. So now he says, oh, you're lying here. What is this? And he says, you. And he just kicked him. He kicked him. And then Muchukundu had this power to turn anyone to ashes who offended him. So he looked at that Kalyavan and finished instant shamshan. Shamshan? Cremation. He's burned to a crisp, you know, ashes. That's very nice. So Mushakunda did him a favor. He was get cremated in, in Mathura Mandala because he was Kamsa's friend. I mean, there's so many layers and unlimited layers to everything, but he is Kamsa's friend. He wasn't born in Mathura. He came from Bihar or somewhere where, like that, somewhere outside of Braj Mandal, and he came here to help him and Kamsa. So this is Kalyavana, and then so we're talking about the fire, the burning fire that you'll experience when you offend a devotee, in case you lost the track, that the, everything was connected. So Kalyavana made, I mean, he made an offense to a devotee, Mochakunda. We already established that he's a devotee, and we talked about the principle of burning positively in Nirjal Ekadasi, and we talked about burning negatively when you make Vaishnava Rad. Aparad. Your mind will burn. You'll always be anxious in your mind. You can never seriously meditate on Radha and Krishna. There's so many examples throughout our Vaishnava history, even great, great exalted bhajanandis. If somehow inadvertently or even unknowingly they offended a devotee, they lost their ability to remember Krishna. They lost their ability to think of Krishna. And what to speak of us? We're nowhere near bhajanandi sadhus. We're simply babies crawling on the path of Bhakti Marg. And we so freely dish out aparads like people give out ladus and a bandara. So it's a warning, of course, when we make aparads, we'll burn in there. Sometimes we hear about where we are, and then we hear about where we want to go. So now let's hear about where we want to go. Kunjantare kemapi jata rasot savaya shutva tadalapita sinjita mishritani shiradike tavaraha parichari kaham dwarasti tarasarade patita kadasyam. Having heard the mixed sounds, mishritani, of soft speech, alapita, and tinkling ornaments, sinjita, coming from within the bower house, Kunja Antare, the same as Hindi, Antara, Antare, or Bitar, Bitar Antare. We say Antare, Antaryami. We talk about the super souls called Antaryami, Yami, one who's gone, Antar, inside. So Kunja Antare. So inside that Kunj, I'm hearing so many, what a beautiful sounds. I'm hearing voices, and I'm hearing musical voices and a madhur vachan, and I'm hearing musical kinkini and musical nupura, ankle bells and waist bells, and combining together such a beautiful concert of mahabhav, prema, such prem gun I'm hearing that I'm so fortunate to be able to, my ears to be able to feast on this music of this love festival, which is so beautiful for the ears and beautiful for the eyes and beautiful for the heart. And I'm a witness there. I'm a sevak there. I'm a paricharika, and I'm serving in so many different ways. I'm hearing with my ears. I'm looking with my eyes. I'm guarding the door because I'm dwarastita. Dwarastita rasarade. I'm the chokidari. I'm fixed at the dwar, at the dwara, at the gate of the kunja, kunja dwara. It's not a very powerful gate. It's not like some fortress, the king's fortress in Ajmer or something, a 25 feet tall gate and 2 feet thick wood. It's just some small split pieces of bamboo interwoven into a makeshift gate. You just blow on the gate and it'll fall down. And there's all flowers woven in it. And so beautiful, and even patterns are made with the flowers. So when Radha and Krishna walk up to the kunja and see that small gate, there are so many flowers, maybe white mogra flowers around the edges in the middle. There's red lotus petals are making a design of a heart or whatever, any kind of beautiful designs you can do with flower petals. Because the Manjari is very expert in all kala. So then Radha and Krishna walk, you see, even in this world, in higher class families, it's called Rangoli. The entrance to the house before sunrise is decorated very beautifully, especially in South India and Orissa and the more traditional places of India. They're maintaining the Vedic traditions to some extent. So they do the Vastu Puja early in the morning, and the Dig Puja and Devata Puja and Surya Tarpan, and then there are Gaur Thakur, and then cooking, and so many things they do, especially the lady devotees in the houses. But they decorate the front of the house and entrance to be very beautiful, and new designs every day with minerals, powders, and whatnot, rangoli, to please Narayan. Because Lord Narayan is worshipped in different forms. He's worshipped in the form of the sun, and Lord Narayan is worshipped in the form of the moon, and in the form of the Brahmins. And within your heart or whatever, I can't remember. So they want to offer their house and the pravesha of their house to Lord Narayan when he rises. He's the first to see. So now the mandris, when every day Radha and Krishna are going to different kunjas, so they may be coming to this mandris kunja if you have your own kunj, or to your Yukteswari's kunja. And there's so many sub kunjas within every kunj. So when Radha and Krishna come to the gate, it shouldn't look, every day it's the same gate, just some white flowers. It should have design, color. All these are all for pleasure. For whose pleasure? Radha and Krishna. So I'm standing at this beautiful gate, and so many bumblebees are also there, on the pretext of getting honey from those fresh flowers, rasa-laden flowers. But they're actually there to contribute to the rasotsava, the Shringar Otsav of Radha and Krishna Kunja Antare, Kunja Bitare, inside the Kunja, because they want to take part also. They want to serve in their own way. Everyone, every living entity, moving and non-moving, what to speak of the clouds, the sunshine, the moon, the stars, everything and everyone, from the earth to the stars, and the Brajalila of Oma Vrindavan or Goloka Vrindavan is engaged in the harmonious Prem Seva of Radha and Krishna. So the bees come there, of course, they're by nature, they're attracted to honey and sweet fragrances. But they say, here's an opportunity to do seva, because these may be maybe pet bees of one mandri. Because some mandris also keep bees. At least we think so. Because when we were before our Purva ashram, or Purva life, not about ashram, but Purva life, we were in college, and in the countryside, the college was there, so we kept honeybees and made honey. So, and I thought that, everyone thought that was rather strange, but somehow my mind went there and did that. It was quite nice. And I served all my friends, gave lots of honey here and there, and like that. So now I'm thinking, because everything's possible. I mean, gopis are expert at training roosters to fight, and they're expert at training rams to fight and lock horns. It's called cockfighting. Rooster, a male chicken, is called a rooster or a cock. And it's called cockfighting. And you can imagine that. That's a pretty tomboyish mandri. So there's if you want to be a tomboy type girl, it means like a girl that likes to climb trees and jump after frogs and lakes and stuff. And, you know, that kind of, she's a girl, and she has all the sentiments and shyness and beauty and tenderness of a girl, but she likes to do things boys usually do, run up and down mountains and throw dirt bombs and climb trees and do those kind of things. So mandris can also have beehives. So now these bees are actually that mandri's bees. And they say, where are you going? I'm going to do Kunja Seva. We want to come too. And she says, what are you going to do? You'll just go around all over the place chasing flowers and getting so much honey to bring to the honey beehive. No. We know this is some Shringarotsav and some Rasotsav. We want to go with you, and you'll be by the Dwara, and you're doing your Seva. And we want to also serve alongside of you, because we're your assistant bumblebees. And we want to sing. We're going to sing. We're going to vibrate our wings exactly. Our wings will vibrate exactly in tune with Radharani's Kinkini and Nupura. This is Braj. That the Madhukara are in tune with the Nupura. The Madhukara is the bee, and the Nupura is the ankle bell. I'm sure somebody who knew Sanskrit would make a beautiful sentence out of this. Madhukara Nupura. Ranjana, Ranjana. At any rate, maybe next time, next life. Better luck next life. you'll be a Bengal. Bangla Bhasha, Mandir Jamu. So we have some notes here from the Tika, and I've already mentioned several times it's three Tikas presented to us, three Tikas amalgamated and presented to us by Pandit Sri Anantadas Bhavji Maharaj. But he drew from the Tikas and commentaries of Ananda Gopal Goswami in the 1950s and 1920s from Madhusudan Das Adhikari. And they're all three of them are great Rasik Janas and Rasik Vaishnavas and great lovers of Radha and Krishna. So we share their thoughts and ideas and try to receive some of their mercy by hearing their teachings. That's the whole idea. So this, we've been mentioning about Utsav, and that's there in an indirect way. the phrase is there, a festival. First line actually. Kunjantare kimapi jata rasotsavaya. Jata means like Janma. That translation says, arising from the robust rasa festival. This is Dasara Sutta Ji's translation. And my godbrother, and Waitadasa's translation is hiding here somewhere. Sri Radhike, when will I, your confidential maidservant, Paricharika, fall in a pool of rasa radhe, as I stand at the gate of the kunja, Dwara Stita, hearing the sweet jingling sound of your ornaments mixed with the sweet sound of your conversation. So that's the shutva, sweet jingling, and then the sinjita, the alalapita sinjita, and then that other word. So we discussed it. Then he said, all this is happening at the beginning of your rasotsava. So just at the beginning of Radharani's intimate, wonderful pastimes, divine pastimes, there's already so much absorption for the manjaris. And maybe because fanning, maybe their service, they're standing at the dwara, stita dwara, the manjari standing there as a guard, a chokidar, to make sure no other vipaksha sakhi comes that way, or possibly a senior or elder like Jatila or Abhimanyu or whoever could be passing that way. But moreover, we said she's a paricharika, and she's saying, I want to be your paricharika. So paricharika means a mandri that can serve. She's an all-rounder. She can do so many things at one time. She can do so many different varieties of services and so many different bhavas. And she's one with Radharani. So as Radharani's bhavas and moods change, then the mandri changes in all different. It's like 360 degrees of bhavas, 360 degrees of seva, sensitivity, responses from the mandri. So she's there guarding with one eye, and she's looking the kunja with the other eye, and her hand she's waiting to pull the vines of the ceiling fan that go in and fan the flower bed above that Radha and Krishna are lying on. But at this particular moment in this spurti, in this lila vision of the lila, Shripad is just there experiencing the fun of it, as we explained and what we heard the other day, that lila means there's no purpose to lila. That's so beautiful. Because we also, the other definition we've heard in Shastra, lila, we didn't mention yesterday, what is the meaning of the word lila? Lila is, of course, li means alingata, and la means to accept. So all those exchanges, those wonderful, sweet, amazing exchanges, where Krishna accepts the loving embraces of his devotees, is called lila. Lila. So li means alingata. It's sakya prema lingata, sakya ras prema lingata. It's vatsalya ras prema lingata. It's madhurya ras prema lingata. It's in swakya bhav. He accepts the embraces of Rukmini and Satyabhama and Satya and Kalindi and others, and Dwarka lila as Dwarkadish, that's the Swakya, a Madhurya Lingata. But then there's Parakya, when Krishna accepts the embraces of the gopis, Radha and Lita Vishaka. So that's also Li, La, a Lingata. So he accepts, in other words, he accepts the love of his devotees, They embrace him, he embraces them, heart to heart, mind to mind, body to body, moment to moment, place to place. This is lila. So that's a very nice definition, which we discussed previously, having heard. But this other definition, it reminded me of once we were on a yatra in Puri with a group of grihasthas from India, and their children were there, and we were staying at Birla Guest House, and there were some swings there outside. And then there was one boy and one. There was two swings, and one family's daughter was swinging. She was about five, and another family's son was swinging, and she was on the left-hand side. He was on the right. Two independent swings, and we were walking. We're all walking out down the hallway to go bathe in the Samudra Tirtha in the ocean. There, and I stopped and I looked and I said, see this? This is Radha and Krishna having jhula and lila. I said, this is Radha and Krishna, and that sands, this is the banks of the Yamuna. This water is the Yamuna. You see that? And I say, look at, and they're just laughing. They're just laughing, and he's going higher and higher, and he's saying, come on, go higher. And she's saying, I'm scared. And they're just swinging. And I said, see, what are they doing? They're having fun. They're not thinking anything. They have no idea of gender, no idea of lust, no idea. They're just having fun. I said, this is Radhakrishnan Leela. This is Radhakrishnan Leela. This is about 15 years ago or so. I said, now, let's go down and talk to them. So we went downstairs and I went to them. And of course, they knew a little English, but I said, now ask them. I said, what are they doing? So they said, what are you doing? I said, we're swinging. I said, ask them why they're doing it. Why you're doing it? Why? I don't know. What do you mean? He said, what do you mean why? No, why are you swinging? It's fun. So I said, ask them, are you doing it for the fun of it? Yeah. What else? Life is fun. Fun is life. This is Vrindavan. This is Radha Krishna Yugal. This is Krishna Sudhaman Sridham. This is Raktak Patrak. This is Yashodananda. It's fun. It's fun to be Krishna's mother. It's fun to be Krishna's friend. It's fun to be his lover. It's fun to be his servant. Different type of world. This is such a nice thing, that one thing he said, and brought me to that experience. I that was in my memory bags. Because we kind of lose touch with that because we live in such a pressurized world. There's so many anxieties from all directions, internally coming out, externally coming in, and just vibrating. We create our own anxieties within our own brain. Environmental and people and visas and bills and sick. And it's just a world of anxieties. It's kunta dam. Kunta means anxieties. So we forget that there's a world of fun and games and play and love and sweetness and harmony. We never hear about it. We never see it. We never feel it. So how can we even conceive of it? But this type of katha, this should be the basic substratum of every bhakta. Every Radha and Krishna bhakta should always be dipping you. Every day you put your ugly, stinking, filthy body under the shower to get it clean. But every day we should submerge our heart in lila katha. So we hear about the fun world. We hear about the goal of our life. The goal of our life after life after. This is a goal that we will chase and run after for many, many lives. It's not just snap your fingers, Hari Bol, Jai Sri Krishna, here I am. Snap your fingers, Hari Bol, Jai Sri Krishna, here I am. Give me some mahaprasadam. I mean, can I do some service? Then give me some mahaprasadam. Even when we get there, we'll still be motivated. Okay, I'll serve you. Oh, you came to the spiritual world. Oh, you want to massage your feet? Yes. And then you massage his feet. And then say, well, you know, can I have some mahaprasadam? What? Go back to the material world. This is not pure devotional service. So this is a festival. This is a rasotsava. It says here, Sripada is telling us, it's a rasotsava. And this is everywhere. It's a festival of ras. Rasaraj Sri Krishna, Rasamayi Radha. Rasabhisatarani, there's that one bhajan by Hari Vyasacharya. Rasabhisatarani, Uru Udarani. like that, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Krishna. So when a divine couple, after overcoming so many obstacles, this is from the Tika, they finally meet together in the forest Kunja, in a dark and lonely forest in Vrindavan. They experience a real festival of the sweetest divine bliss, Madhura Rasotsava. Because you imagine, it's so difficult to meet your beloved. So many obstacles. The time factor is against you. The environment is against you. Everyone in the village is against you. Your own dharma is against you. Your own upbringing is against you. Your conditioning is against you. Your husband is against you. Your mother-in-law is against you. Your sister-in-law is against you. But you have to meet your beloved. Radha has to meet Krishna. Krishna doesn't have that many problems because he's dear Lalita. He just goes here and there. His biggest problem is his mother wants to lock him in the palace and let him play there. He says, no, I really, mother, please let me. He says goodbye every single day. Krishna says goodbye to Mother Yashoda 10 times before she lets him go to the forest. She runs out of the palace, walks halfway into the forest with him, and then he says, okay, I'm going. It's okay, you go. No, no, come back, wait. And then back and forth 10 times before he finally gets free from his mother's bondage of affection. And then as soon as the boys, and he gets free, and then all the boys that are waiting for him to get free, it says that they start frolicking and playing like baby elephants released from their chains. Because they have these elephant farms or elephant ranches, or whatever they call them, in South India. When you go to Guruvayur, I went to Guruvayur, and they have a whole elephant farm down there, whatever they call it, an elephant place, sanctuary or so, down the road where they raise elephants for the Seva Udupi Krishna. And that's a big thing to see. And you go down there and you see these huge creatures, these mammals, these elephants, and they're all heavy chains and they're pegged in the wall. The ground. And then nearby, they're babies. It's just like, because they're mammals, so it's just like, you know, the babies, you know, are one place, the mother's another place. And you see little babies with, like everything small looks so cute, as you know. But so those baby elephants, they're also chained. But I can imagine, according to Krishna's Kaviraj's analogy, that if you let that chain out, they're really going to play and romp and have fun and jump in the lake. There's a big lake. They're going to jump and play and squirt each other with water. They're kids, kid elephants. You know, kids play. Big elephants just sit there and eat all bananas all day and leaves and drink water. They're too big to play, or hardly. But the little ones, you know, you can imagine, they would jump in that lake and jump. One guy would jump on another guy. They wrestle and blow water in each other. So this is Krishna and Balaram and the coward boys, and they finally get free from their mother's loving embrace, and it says they're like baby elephants. You ever read that? They're like baby elephants released from the shackles. So this is how Radha and Krishna, they have so many, at least for Radha, there's so many shackles and bindings and restrictions for her to meet Krishna. When they finally get together, it's like, ah, we made it. And you can imagine, what are the first words that Krishna speaks to Radharani? And what are the first words that Radharani speaks to Krishna? It's called Alapita, Madhura Alapita. And who can hear that? Can Lita Sakhi hear those words? Can Vishaka, can the Asta Sakhis that are so near and dear and confidential and close to Radharani and Paramapreshta Sakhis? No, they can't hear. When they go in the Kunj, then the Sakhis go out and go here and there. So but who's there here? Whose ears are receiving this nectar poured into their ears? The Manjaris, the Kinkaris, the Parijarikas. And that's what these verses are. There's unlimited, ocean has unlimited waves. So every verse of Rasa Shastra has unlimited waves of bhav and attraction and absorption. You can just, this verse is lila. This is a lila. You can chant japa and you can meditate if you have that ruchi, that taste. Not ruchi in bhakti as a stage or a krama, but that ruchi, that desire, that attraction, that appreciation for the sweetness, and you meditate on this. And what are they saying? And I'm there. What are they saying? And Krishna can reveal everything in the heart. This is what bhajan means. It's called spurti. Tesham saratayuktanam bhajatam pritipuravakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yena mamupayantite. Krishna is telling Gita, when our bhajan is like this, then he gives everything in the heart. So that Manjari's hearing, so Radharani's showing her, or she's showering her pritam with nectar of her sweet speech mixed with a gentle tinkling of her ankle bells and other ornaments and waist bells. So nice, like when in the traditional Indian ladies, married ladies, they wear nupura, ankle bells, and waist bells also, but at least ankle bells. So they walk and along with their husbands, I don't know, in front or behind, I forget how it goes, maybe in front or behind or whatever. But it jingles so sweetly, and it's music, and that music hypnotizes the husband. It's very sweet and pleasing, and then the lady speaks. So it creates attachment. It's a beautiful sound, and woman and wife represents beauty and tenderness and sweetness and music. So that's her form, that's her heart, that's her bhav, that's her effect, prabhav. And so all these ornaments of Radharani are increasing her sweetness for Krishna's pleasure. They're increasing his experience of her love. They're increasing his attachment to Radharani. Because Krishna can say, oh, I love you, Radharani, and I love your nupura, and I love your kinkini. Why do I love your kinkini, your waist bells and your ankle bells? Because your waist bells love me. Your waist bells love me as much as you do, because your waist bells have mahabhav, and your nupura has mahabhav. So I love your nupura. So if some husband says, oh, I love your ankle bells, the wife thinks he's cracked. You know, it's a piece of metal. It's just some copper covered with gold powder or something. Unless you're rich. And then it's gold. Or even some other thing covered with silver polish. So this is so Krishna's hearing this, and then Krishna's deep voice, which is rumbling like clouds. And Krishna's voice is something very special, because when Krishna's speaking to Radharani, the voice is going in her ears, but it's like beautiful waves flowing in her heart. Her heart is being washed by waves of the sound. Krishna's voice is like waves of joy and waves of peace and waves of bliss are washing Radharani's heart. And the Rasa Panchadaya, it says Madhura Vachan, Madhura Valgita. The gopis are saying that you just speak Madhura Valgita. You attract everyone, Krishna. The demigoddess is in heaven and everyone. Madhura Valgita. Valgita, when you just speak, then everyone loses and forgets everything. And if you glance at the women, so now Krishna's beautiful voice. What a beautiful concert of music there. It's a festival. What does a festival mean? What is the meaning of Utsav? Utsav means people. And Utsav means music. And Utsav means joy. And Utsav means communion. And Utsav means food. This is all in a festival. So here, all these things are there. The elements of a great festival are here. All the elements are assembled here in this Rasotsava. Kunja Antare Rasotsava. Sometimes when the katha is nice, then this Radharani makes some noise in the back, you know. She's there and she kind of goes ting ting, like, yeah, very nice. She's making music to go along with the presentation also. So this is a festival. So here we have the music of their voices, the music of Radharani's nupur and kinkini. And then there's the joy of communion and the happiness of meeting of hearts. And then there's food. What is the food? The food is the Adhara Amritam, which, because in the beginning of okay, welcome to the festival, sit down, take for food. When a festival begins, you don't sit down. Usually first there's some, in our experience and our spiritual movements, if there's some festival, there's some katha, or maybe many days of katha, and there's kirtan, and there's bhajans. So there's music, and there's some philosophy and music, and there's a meeting of friends. And finally, the piece de resistance, the final icing on the cake of the festival is Mahaprasad, Vaishnava Seva, in general. So this Rasotsava is starting. When you go into a festival, oh, the kirtan's great, and you sit down, you take your part, and whatever, hear, play. So this festival is just beginning. This is the beginning of the Utsav, Rasotsava, Kunjantara Utsav. And in any big festival, they do have chokidars and security people, because there may be some wrong people coming there or bad-minded people. So they'll have security. Like we went on Brajmandal with a temple and taking so many devotees around. But sometimes in years previous, we found some rowdy people disturbing the ladies in our party. We had 200 or 300 people and Western people. So then the temple hired security guards to come. And so we were talking Leela and going to visit all the places on Brajmandal, Parikrama, but they were our guards for our Utsav. We had music, and we had kirtan, we had classes, we also had prasad. We took breakfast there and took Maha Prasad. We had our guards. So the mandris were there guarding. So now, of course, what is the food of this festival? The food is the nectar of each other's lips. That is ras. Because when you go to the festival, oh, there's puri, there's sabji. Oh, there's no sweet rice? There's no kheer. Oh, this is not such a good festival. This is a very good maaprasad. Okay, they give you some rasgulla, some gulab jamun, because kheer is a costly thing, especially for 500 or 1,000 people. So much milk, everything. But it's definitely this tops. Any festival without kheer, in my definition, is not a festival. That's my definition, because you go all over South India. What is the primary preparation? Every single temple and all the traditional India, the mukhya preparation, even in Puranas it says, if you can't offer anything to your Thakurji, you must offer kheer every day, if you can. If you're a Babaji, you offer a piece of mystery, or you offer a tulsi leaf and just meditate, or you offer your madhukari, that's a different standard. But if you have, so all over South India have something called payasam. And everywhere, because I went to all South Indian Vishnu temples and all kinds of temples there, 1986, 87. So everywhere you get payasam. That means sweet rice, kheera. So everything is there in this festival. And let's see what other points are there. So there's some leela that's also mentioned here we can share with everyone. I have a watch. I want to see what time it is. I have a watch on. Okay. This doesn't work anymore. Okay. So this is a very sweet union and meeting of Radha and Krishna after bewilderment and separation. So there's Madhura Yoga and Mohan Yoga. This is And previously, which we didn't cover, in verse 47, this is from the Tika, it describes Radharani's Premvaichitya. So kind of some verses go in a sequence, but we are focusing on jumping here and there on those verses that talk about, because the book is verse by verse, but we're jumping here and there, focusing on this, the mandris and kinkris, sevas. And so we're kind of dropping in the middle of a leela, which is a continuation from verse 47, which says, verse 47 says, although sitting in her beloved's lap, Radharani suddenly cries out, "Oh, Mohan, Mohan!" with delirious, indescribably sweet voice. She's sitting on Krishna's lap, but she feels suddenly, "Oh, I've lost my Mohan. He's gone. Where's my Mohan?" And it's interesting she's saying Mohan, because she's in a type of bewilderment to begin with. So she's saying Mohan. And that's a word in the verse. Hey, Mohaneti. Hey, ha, Mohaneti. Ha, Mohaneti. Radharani, her entire body is madly overwhelmed. Most fascinatingly in pure, uncommon love for Shyam. Actually, once when I was asking it, Waitat Das, what does he think of Dasara Sutta's translations? He said they're good. He's like a second Prabodhananda Saraswati. He gets so many elaborate, or no, like in Vrindavan and Mahimamrita, so many elaborate adjectives. You know, and Prabodhananda Saraswati uses when he describes Vrindavan or other things. So very flowery, beautiful language. Then he says, some jewel of a maiden gloriously present on the border of the grove. So 47 continues here, that Radharani's in separation, and 47 she feels Krishna is gone. Now she finally has woken up, and now they have a sweet union after that bewilderment. So that's what's describing her prem vaichitya. Prem vaichitya in the previous verse is a form of separation which Radharani experiences even when she's in the direct presence of the beloved, even that close, sitting on his lap. She's sitting there, even touching him. Maybe she has her arm around Krishna and him the same. So this is continuous in the purport by Baba. While Radha and Krishna are sitting together, and suddenly Radharani enters this bhav, this prem vaichitya, which is a type of viyog or viraha bhav. And Krishna, in his amazement, he closes his eyes. He's looking, he says, what am I seeing? I can't believe what I'm seeing. Radharani's sitting on my lap, I'm looking at Radharani. And he just closes her eyes and tries to relish that. What is she feeling? And how has she entered this state of intense viyog, even in my direct presence? And again, he was fascinated and attracted to Radharani's display of this intense madhura bhava and separation. And again, that became another reason in his heart, oh, I have to understand this. I must someday, in some form, in some way, she's saying, hey, Mohan, because she's Mohan, bewildered, but he's also bewildered by her display of Mohan, by her display of prem vaichitya. So he closes his eyes. If you're confused, or you can't figure out something, sometimes you close your eyes. What is going on? You know. So Krishna, this is happening here. So then, in amazement, he's amazed. What am I seeing? And then what am I seeing? He doesn't have the answer. When he comes as Mahaprabhu, he finds the answer, because then he experiences Radharani's viyog and separation. So when Radha comes out of her prem vaichitya ecstasy, she sees that Shyam's eyes are closed. So then Swamini Radha decides to play a trick. So she, one moment she's totally in a madness of separation, then she comes out. He says, "Oh, he's in some bewilderment, and his eyes are closed, and he's been bewildered by my display of love. So now let me slip off his lap and go expand the leela even more." So there's so many wave after wave of leela. So she decides to play a trick. So Radharani slips away and hides nearby in a kunja. And her Manjari, Tulsi Manjari, or Guru Devi, or yourself, or whomever, the Manjari is observing this fun prank of Radharani. She covers her mouth with her veil, and she slightly giggles. Because like little, they're little girls, they're only 12 years old, or 13. Maybe you forgot the last time you giggled, because you're too old and too big and too stiff. But but at one point in your life, especially girls have that tendency, and boys are just too crude and too hard-hearted, but they kind of giggle, and it's kind of one of their, that's one of their sampat, that's one of their wealths. So the Manjaris, they thought, this is a good one, Radharani, and she's giggling. So with her eyes, Radhika tells her Manjari, listen, don't reveal my hiding place. Slowly, Mohan opens his eyes and comes out of his own trance of